This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, rocking and rolling through everything now. Here's what we have this hour. It's going to kind of be a bit of a smorgasbord, if you will. I said that, one, because I say that a lot, and two, I really love that word smorgasbord. Chris, that sounds like maybe a Jewish term. Is that a Jewish term? Smorgasbord? You don't know? Don't you speak? Don't you blah? Anyway, I have a bit of a smorgasbord coming for you. We're going to talk about everything from Venezuela, kangaroos, the mall, emails, all that, and so much more. But I want to touch on something serious before we get to those other things. You already know about the mass importation of foreigners and what it means to the communists. Please remember that the evil people in America and internationally who have done so much to hurt people, none of them are sorry. None of them intend to change course. Here in America, they seem a little quieter than they were recently. That's simply because of the election of Donald Trump and because American culture is rejecting them. So what are they doing? Are they dumping DEI? No, they're changing the name. They're just moving the pieces around, changing names, adjusting definitions, but none of them are actually sorry. I'm going to play you something. You've probably heard of her. If you haven't, her name is Ursula von der Leyen, or von der Leyen. Who is she? She's the head of the European Union. Now, I know some Europeans. I'm a pretty sophisticated person. No, it's just from being in this industry, right-wingers who are in places like the UK or Spain or Germany, things like that. I know some of them, talk to them. They're just sickened by what's happened to their countries. You think you have moments where you feel hopeless? They feel like all is lost there. What happened to them? It's not complicated. Every one of them will tell you the same thing. Their leaders threw open the doors of Europe and allowed foreigners to pour in en masse. And now Germany doesn't look like Germany in most places now. France doesn't look like France. UK, Belgium, Spain, you name it. The countries that have thrown open their doors, they're gone. The countries that haven't, Poland, Croatia, Slovenia, those types of places, they're doing great. Clean, safe, nice. The others, women can't go out at night. Now, if you're a European scumbag leader, you have watched this happen. More than just terror attacks, the murder, the rape, the burning of the churches, that you've watched this happen. All of it, a direct result of the mass importation of foreigners. And you're not sorry. You might not even care about Belgium. I mean, who has passionate thoughts about Belgium unless you're eating a waffle? But I would venture to guess that you don't want to see Belgium destroyed, do you? I certainly don't want to see that. But the leaders of Belgium don't care. This is Ursula von der Leyen. Listen to this.
That is why I'm so glad that we are signing an agreement on mobility. We will facilitate the movement of students, researchers, seasonal and highly skilled workers. And this is also why we are launching the first EU legal gateway office in India. It will be a one-stop hub to support Indian talent moving to Europe in full alignment with EU member states' needs and policies.
I'm going to pause on this for a moment. And I want you to understand that if what I say right now offends you, I don't care. All right? Because I get emails every time I bring this up. Nevertheless, it's true. Don't care if you're offended. You're welcome to email in. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. India. India has too many people. They can't care for them all. It's now the most populated country on the planet. They just have a ton of people. Okay. So India, they have a strategy to deal with this. India is purposely, not accidentally, it's not a whoopsie, it is a nationwide policy in India to export as many Indians across the globe as they possibly can. Okay, well, all that's understandable. Again, Indians doing what's best for Indians, that's all fine and understandable. Totally get all that. But what happens from there? Well, here is what happens from there. Indians, when they, this applies to a lot of immigrant groups, but it definitely applies to Indians when they go other places in mass, they will generally, not always, only hire other Indians. So in Indian, well, here's a company that it happened at, actually, USAA. You've heard of USAA? USAA used to be a wonderful company with incredible customer service. Veterans who use USAA have been screaming about it for years as it's gone downhill. What happened? Not only did people from India take over USAA, they did what they almost always do. They only hired other Indians to occupy seats of power. It's not like they leave those seats of power open for the best and the brightest. Hey, anyone can join. No. Again, because it's a national policy, it is a focused effort to give Indian companies jobs to only other Indians. This is how it works. And this is not actually a criticism at all of India or Indians. I know people take it like that. I'm explaining the reality of how it actually works. In my area, there are four huge gas stations that just opened up. An Indian family, one of them owns all four of them. You will not find anyone other than an Indian working in the Indian gas stations because they refuse to hire anyone else. It's the policy of it. Yes, that's right, Chris. Chris calls it tribal, and I've called it tribal before. That's fine, but that is how it actually works in practice. Therefore, mass migration from India, and really anywhere else, from India into your country will absolutely, positively displace the citizens in your country, and it is a focused effort done on purpose by the Indian government and the Indian people who carry it out. And this is not as if it's something that I came up with in a conspiracy theory that people write about it, people talk about it. This is well known in the world, well known. And Europeans, wherever they may, whatever country they may come from, they've watched their country be ripped from them, their jobs be ripped from them. They've watched the same way you've seen it here in America. They've seen it tenfold over there. And the people who lead Europe aren't sorry.
That is why I'm so glad that we are signing an agreement on mobility. We will facilitate the movement of students, researchers, seasonal and highly skilled workers. And this is also why we are launching the first EU Legal Gateway Office in India. It will be a one-stop hub to support Indian talent moving to Europe in full alignment with EU member states' needs and policies.
And how does it happen? How could countries let it happen? Well, you know, communists, they're trying to burn the place down. How could Republicans sign on for it? Large campaign donations plays a part in it, for sure. Corporate interests play a part in it. You think corporations want to pay you what you're worth? You know that they can hire an H-1B from India He's going to work like a slave, and he'll work for way, way less. When they think about the profit loss sheet, you're just too expensive. So big corporations who are GOP donors, they sign on to it. It's been going on for a very, very, very long time, and it's a problem. And the people who've been doing it, they're not sorry. They're not stopping. They're not slowing down. They're pressing the gas pedal. The mass replacement of citizens in Western civilization continues every day, all day, and the leaders of these countries are putting the pedal to the metal to get it done as quickly as humanly possible. That's the truth. Again, if you're offended, I don't care. Emails, next.
I've got an animal inside of me.
Jesse Kelly.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So, Venezuela's acting president, Delcy Rodriguez, said she's had enough of U.S. orders. So let me just recap this in case you forgot. You already know we went in there. We snatched up Maduro and his wife. We cut a deal with Delcy Rodriguez. And the deal, allegedly, I need to completely stress that this is allegedly. It's a story that's out there, but I'll just say I'm pretty sure it's true. I'll leave it at that. All right? That we grabbed Maduro and we basically told her, yeah, you can run the country. You're going to run it our way, or we're going to fire a bullet into Maduro's face right now. So what's it going to be? We gave her the ultimate mafia ultimatum, if you will. Run it, but you're our puppet, or we just kill him, and you too. She made the only choice she could. She made the deal. Now, she's chafing under de facto U.S. rule. I understand all that. I get every side of it. Conquest is necessary. And you don't want to be the one being conquered. And right now, Venezuela, what they're going through is they're being conquered. This is not really a lesson about Venezuela. It's a lesson about us. Don't ever find yourself as the weaker country who has to have terms dictated to it by the more powerful country. Venezuela? Rodriguez? I don't care what you've had enough of. That couldn't possibly be less important right now. You will do what you're told, when you're told, or Delta Force will come knock on your door in the night, and then we'll find a different one. You don't get any say in the matter whatsoever. It's like me dealing with the kids the other night when I told them, what was it that I told them? Oh, yeah, we had to go over to a neighbor's house to help them out with something. And one of my boys said, oh, I don't really feel like it right now. I started laughing and laughing and laughing. I couldn't stop laughing. And then I politely, very politely informed him, well, your feelings don't matter at all. That's the least important thing in the world. I don't care what you feel like. We're going to help. And guess who just signed up to do the most work? You did. Remember that, Venezuela. Hey, Bronco Oracle. I'd like to propose the L in LGBTQ be updated to reference libertarians. I guess this guy doesn't like libertarians. My word, have they ever shown their hysterical commie selves over the latest moron getting deleted while interfering with ICE operations? Okay, pause for a second. I have a lot of libertarian leanings. I have a lot of libertarian friends. I sympathize with them. Here's the reality. In Rome, Rome was ruled by the Senate before the emperors took over. Rome liked it that way. In fact, Rome was adamant they would not have a king. No kings. No tyrants. We're ruled by the Senate. The people have representation in the Senate. They were very proud of that, right? However, the Romans also understood something, and they understood this from past experiences and the way things worked. The Romans understood that in certain times, it was really times of crisis, invasion, things like that, in certain times, we can't do this, let's argue in the Senate about it for weeks at a time thing. There's no time. So occasionally, we have to have a dictator. We have to have a dictator for a strict, limited amount of time. There's a limit on that. We're going to give you a year. For a year, you call all the shots. None of this Senate garbage. None of this people's representative. None of this talk. You do your thing for a year. Have you ever, well, you've heard of Cincinnati, right? Cincinnati, Ohio. Maybe you've been. I've been many times before. You know what that's named after? It's named after the famous Roman Cincinnatus. Cincinnatus was a famous Roman because he was, at one point in time, one of these dictators. All of Rome was in his hands. He did his duty and then promptly gave the whole thing back and said, I'm going back to my farm. He was legendary for that. Cincinnatus had power, had it all, gave it up. Either way, what did the Romans really understand? They understood a truth that you and I should accept as well. All forms of government, of all the ones that are out there, there's not a single one of them that works for every situation in every period of time. There's never been one that exists that way. Some governments work for some groups of people in some times. Other governments work for different groups of people in other times. Sometimes with the same group of people, this form of government will work for quite a while, but then at some point, you got to switch. The time for libertarianism worked until we flooded the country with 50 million barbarians. Now the libertarians are going to have to sit down for a while. I hope they get back in charge as soon as we deport 50 million barbarians, because you can't live and let live your way out of 50 million barbarians. You just can't. You have to go do ugly things, arrest people, throw them in cars, and send them out of the country. Jesse, I want to share real-world results about my chalk experience for your listening audience. July 19th, listen to this, 2025, my total testosterone was 245. November 4th, 2025, my total testosterone was 305. That is a 24.4898% increase in about 105 days. No needles, no patches, no injections, just chalk daily, chalk Tomcat 100 every single day. This stuff works. Even my doctor was surprised it jumped this much on supplements alone. Only going to get higher as I continue. Thank you. He asked that I not use his name, but he did say, P.S., feel free to pass this along to Chalk. How many of these emails have I read you? You don't need needles. You need a male vitality stack from Chalk to change your life. 4 years I've been on one. I'll never stop. Email after email after email. Your mood, your energy, it's about to get better. CHOQ, chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Go begin. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, can you keep it playing for a minute? Just turn it up a little bit, please. I like this part. It's the Beach Boys, Chris. Turn it up, man. That's wonderful. That's beautiful, Chris. One of the great American bands of all time. I wish you would pay them a little bit more respect than you do. Did you know one of them was Jewish? No, I just made that up. I was hoping to get you to buy in. Chris said something inappropriate, and I'm not going to repeat it to everybody because it's rude, and you know what? Bigoted, Chris. That's what it was. Bigoted. I'm not repeating what you just said. Let's do some emails. Maybe you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, how does one get factual current events? That might be the shortest email I've ever read on the air, and I love it. Not for the brevity, although you know I love that. It's so honest, and I know so many people go through this. I go through this. How do we tell what's real? How can we tell what is true? How do we sift through the endless lies? So here's our situation. Our situation currently, as we live in the year 2026, is unique in that we have endless sources of information. A fascinating thing, I've always thought it was so amazing. One of the reasons the church really took a leadership position in early Europe was the church was one of the only places where you could find a book of any kind. And the people who worked there, the clergy who worked in the church, they were the only ones oftentimes in an area who could read. Think what that means for you if you're a Tom and Julie peasant out there. What do you know about anything? You don't know anything except for what your neighbor might have heard from another neighbor who was passing through. You don't know anything about the world or life or what. You have to go somewhere. All right, so that's an extreme example. Now fast forward to kind of how most Americans have lived for throughout their lives, depending on how old you are. There's the newspaper. I'm old enough, 44. Woke up in the morning. We subscribed. There was a newspaper in the front lawn. Newspaper. The paper boy gets up at 4 a.m., gets a stack of papers, rides around on his bicycle, chucking newspapers in the lawn. You got the news from there. Or you turn on the TV. I'm old. We had one of those wood frame TVs with the knob that went click, 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 click. And I remember it because there were 26 channels on it. And we got in total, three. Eventually, we got a antenna on it where I think the number was 13. And that was unreal. That we have TBS? No way. It was that. That's what it was. Now, think about that. That's how most people have lived most of their lives. Those are that's limited sources. I have a newspaper, but I have to pay for that. I have free news on TV, but it's ABC, NBC, CBS, maybe CNN's on there. But we already know that those organizations lie all the time. Okay, so that's bad. You don't have enough news sources, and the ones you do have lie. That's bad. But we have a completely different problem today. Endless news sources. And how many people do what I do? Political punditry, political talk, if you want to. Endless. Young, old, men, women, foreigners, domestic, endless. You have endless options right now. You don't have to listen to me. Endless options all over your radio. You can just start flipping through the channels right now. If you're listening on the radio, it'd be talk show, talk show, talk show. Who do you listen to? How do you tell? It maybe social media is your thing. That's a big thing for me because I like how fast it is. I can get news quickly. I love the speed of it. I don't want to be behind. I don't want to be a day behind. I don't want to be 2 hours behind. I want to know what's going on as it's going on because it helps me do a better show for you. I want to know. Well, how do you sift through social media? Chris, off the top of your head, do you happen to know, or at least a rough estimate, how many, we'll use Twitter, or it's X, how many X accounts exist? It's in the millions and millions and millions, right? Millions of them. Well, every one of those counts in a way as a news source, right? How do you tell? Let me give you a couple tidbits that I use. First, if you start to listen or pay attention to people, me included, please include me in this. Test them. Meaning, if they're saying something, go verify it. This applies to all walks of life. Your teacher in school, if you're a kid listening. Your pastor in church. Don't just listen. Verify. Go read for yourself. Go research for yourself. Was he misleading me? Did he give me some bunk information? Did you test them from time to time? Another way I test people, I wait for highly emotionally charged events, and I see who, quote, on my side, caves. Told you before about walking away from my pastor after the George Floyd events. I can't tell you how many people on the right I don't read, watch, or listen to anymore because I watched them in the early days of COVID tell, just get the vaccine. Why don't you just put on a mask? Be a good American. What happened? Does that mean that person's bad? No, not saying that. It means to me that person's weak. How can I trust you now when I couldn't trust you then? I've called COVID the great sorting for a reason. You sorted out your friends. You sorted out your relatives. You sorted out, hopefully, the news sources, the places you go for true information. You have a completely different challenge than the challenge your grandparents had. You have endless information. Therefore, you and I, we have to become sifters. We have to learn how to sift through it all. And it's happened on this show before. It's happened to me multiple times where someone will say, hey, this pundit is saying this, and you won't say that. You're an idiot. And then a week later, month later, a year later, hey, man, that person, they were wrong. I shouldn't have listened to that person. I feel dumb. Hey, totally understandable. It's endless sources of information, and you have to learn how to sift through it, and nobody can do it for you. I try the best I can in my own small way with our own small show. Well, it's just not small anymore, but I try in my own way to help sift through things. But even then, these are the things that I'm passionate about. These are the things I want to talk about. Maybe you're passionate about a bunch of stuff that I don't really care about, and I can't help you with that. You have to stand on your own 2 feet for information more than previous generations ever have because there's too much of it, and that will never go away. There's no disincentive right now to putting out information. In fact, to being a huge liar. You can go lie about things every minute of every day, and because of it's such an online click-driven economy now, you can make a fortune doing that. A fortune doing that. If that's what you wanted to dedicate your life to, if you have no morality whatsoever, if you have nothing against it, you can make a fortune doing that. It makes it harder for you. It makes it harder for me. I sympathize, but that's the best way I can explain it. Sift through and don't be afraid to cut people off you watch and listen to. If you test them and they fail, snip it. Let them go. Because they're going to look, if they're lying to you now, they're going to lie to you about the thing that's 6 months from now. They're going to lie to you about the thing that's a year from now. Cut them off. All right? All right. Hang on.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, Let's check in with the communists. This is a voicemail left for an ICE agent and his family.
You're a fucking fascist pig. You should fucking kill yourself. I hope your wife dies. I hope your mom and dad die.
Yeah, we're going to cut that off right there. Just remember the kind of mental instability we're dealing with and why we're dealing with it. These are broken, lost, stupid, drug-addicted people, and they're lied to all day, every day by elite communists.
Stephen Miller, like a man named Ben Detson, he was the one who created the internment camps for Japanese. Heinrich Himmler in the Nazi regime, this is what he is. And he of course, Trump gets the most of the blame being at the top. But people like Stephen Miller will go down in history as evil, had blood on his hands, and should be jailed.
Josh Shapiro is the governor of Pennsylvania, often sold as the moderate option that'll bring Democrats back to the center. Here he is.
The Congress of the United States on Friday has the ability to stand up and stop funding ICE and terminate this mission in Minnesota.
Can't save this party. Has to be destroyed. Has to be destroyed by going after the three legs of the bar stool. What are the three legs? Fraud, foreigners, cheating, FFC, the three things that hold up the Democrat Party. Runaway kangaroos bring down cyclists in Aussie road race. Did you know, first of all, Australians, I've told you before that I love Australians. I can't help it. Every Australian I've ever known was just cool as can be. They're my people. I've never been. I'm never going to go because the country is just a house of horrors. Between the great white sharks and the poisonous snakes. They have bullet ants there. They have Sydney funnel web spiders. It's just a house of horrors. I can't believe there's anybody still alive, so I'm never going there. Yeah, that's a good point, Chris. And the flight to get there is brutal. And can you imagine the cost, Chris? Just think about what you would pay for that. You're never going, for sure, unless you could get something on Spirit Airlines. So anyway, I love Australian people. But on top of everything else, the kangaroos are mean. Did you know that? And I know that's going to be uniquely troubling to women who believe every animal talks and dances and does singing routines. But those things, they'll hurt you bad. What, Chris? Chris said, you think you can eat kangaroo? That can't be good, man. No, listen, there's no way that can be good. They hop around all the time, right? At least that's what it looks like in the cartoons. The Australians call them wallabies, and I love that name more. So now I'm going to call them wallabies. But they hop around all the time. What makes meat taste good, Chris? What makes meat taste good? Fat. That's correct. The fat. How much fat can a wallaby possibly have when it is doing the animal equivalent of jumping jacks all day long? There's a reason we eat cows and we don't eat tigers, because tigers are all muscle. The animal has to have fat. The more fat, what? Why are you shaking your head about my logic? What? A huge kangaroo jump drumstick is appealing. I will admit that. I just don't think we're going to have the juice we need to make it delicious. It would be cool. We do have to see now. But how are we going to see? If you never see a restaurant serving it, I'm certainly not going to go over there and get eaten by a shark. Outback Steakhouse does not have it, and I would know because I've had more bloomin' onions in my life than you've ever thought of in your life. Outback does not have it, as a matter of fact, and Outback's getting expensive. That's the way the economy is, and I realize when you go out to a nice steakhouse, you're gonna assume the bill's gonna be high. But we went to Outback a few weeks ago. I was a little sticker shocked. I'll tell you this, a little sticker shocked. All right. Don't shake your head, Chris. Also, the country loves deportation.
Just take a look here. Net approval rating on the economy. You go back to this point in the Joe Biden presidency, he was 19 points underwater. You go into Donald Trump's presidency, hey, he started off in the positive territory, a plus 6 points. But down he goes, down the slide into the ocean he goes, negative 20 points. Donald Trump is actually in slightly worse position right now in the economy than Joe Biden was in this presidency. And of course, Joe Biden, as I said at the top, the economy ate his presidency alive. And right now it is eating Donald Trump's presidency alive.
I wanted to play that for you. I promised you earlier I was going to play it. The country loves deportations. The country is on our side when it comes to crime, when it comes to illegals, when it comes to deportations. But there is a problem. The Trump administration knows it's a problem. That's why they're throwing out things like Trump savings accounts and capping credit card interest. The problem, though, hasn't changed, and there's probably nothing you can do to change it. People are unhappy with the economy. And when people are unhappy with the economy, they are going to place the blame at the feet of the man who holds the White House. Right or wrong, they are. That, much more than deportations or ICE or this street animal getting shot, that is what is going to kill us at the midterms if it doesn't turn around.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
San Francisco's largest mall abruptly closes for good sooner than expected. Malls are dying. We just went to Dillard's a couple days ago. I wanted to get Ob a nice pair of earrings for this gala we have coming up. Like half the stores are closed in the mall. There's not even an Orange Julius anymore. British Prime Minister Starmer courts China amid U.S. unpredictability. What a shocker. The commies in Britain are going to get real, real cozy with the commies over there in China. U.S. intensifies strikes in Somalia following Nigeria bombardment. Nice. Let's save some of those for Minneapolis. All right. We will come back tomorrow and do it again. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.